You're listening to the audio message of the Sunday service of The Gathering QC, a local church that meets at 3928 12th Avenue in Moline, Illinois. You can also find us on the web at thegatheringqc.com. This is the sermon series called Really Good News, and this is the last section of that. We've been talking over the last few weeks. The first part was that the really good news is that there's personal news, that your life can be transformed through finding joy and peace and the love of God through Jesus Christ, that your life can be radically changed. Can anyone say amen to that, that your life has been turned around because of what Christ has done for you personally? And then the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the really good news is that not only are you changed personally, but that you're not alone. You are not created to be alone. And when God touches you personally, he also places you into a loving, encouraging, supportive family of God. We call it the church. So not only does he want you to be changed, but he wants you to grow as part of the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters that gather around the Lord's table and the word of the Lord to grow together week after week. Now, we're on the third section of that, and the part of the really good news that we're going to talk about today is that you were created for a big purpose. You were created for a big purpose. So not only does God change you personally, places you within the body of Christ, but he has called you to make a difference. He gives you purpose. One of the things I enjoy most about being a pastor is being able to point people to a higher calling. It's one of the joys of being able to look at people in the eye and to describe to them the higher calling that they have through being in Christ, that when you come to Christ, you have been given a bigger purpose. Everyone looking at me right now? Is your pat? Look at me. Every one of you. You're called to a big purpose. Every one of you. Now, I know I said that's one of the things that I, you know, sometimes I get opportunities to attend events, and sometimes I rub noses, and you know, and you kind of get the feeling that the doctors and the lawyers, and I attended an event with some movers and shakers in the town this week, and the politicians and the sports professionals, and they're all, you know, greeting one another, and then they ask, well, so what do you do? I'm a pastor. And they're like, okay, I need to go speak to Dr. So-and-so. And they're like, so sometimes you're not sure, you know, the how valued you may be. But one of the things that I've always loved about my job is pointing people higher, pointing people deeper, reminding people of more than just a career or more than just making the money to get by and finding retirement, is that you were created for a big purpose. And that's what we do as part of a pastoral team, is to remind folks that in Christ Jesus, no matter what you do or what your calling in your career is about, that in Christ you were called to something bigger. Amen? So we're going to use two passages of Scripture. We're going to use two this week, all right? First one, and we've covered some of these before, but we're going to talk about them again. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 20. Listen to this calling, this high calling that we are given through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now the next one is Romans chapter 12. Very similar passage. Listen to Romans chapter 12, verses 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and your proper worship. And do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For it is by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Two passages of scripture that we're going to use to talk about that the really good news is that we were created to live on purpose. We were created to live on purpose. The first thing I want to say about this is that, first of all, it's not a mistake that you're with us here today. Because you were created on purpose, you are here on purpose, and your life is not a mistake if it's filled with purpose. One guy, early on when I was a teenager, I remember one person always saying, God doesn't make junk, Dwayne. God doesn't make junk. And that was his way of encouraging me whenever I was down, whenever I was discouraged, whenever I was depressed. He would always remind me, God doesn't make junk. God doesn't speak mistakes into existence. I like what Genesis 1 talks about, where God purposely creates. It says he speaks and says, let there be light. He speaks and the waters and the dry land are separated. He speaks and the plants and the animals are made. And then on the sixth day, he said, let us make man and woman in our image. It was not a mistake, but it was purposeful that he created human life. It was on purpose that he desired to cooperate with us, to see good things brought to this world. And so you may be sitting here today and you may be feeling like you have very little purpose or you're searching to find meaning. I want you to know that God doesn't create junk, that you're not a mistake, that you were created on purpose. Second, I want you to know that you're not a human that's without purpose or meaning. I find a lot of people that drift through life. I've had one or two in my pastoral career of people, one of the saddest things is on their deathbed, tell me that they were so sad because they never really discovered what life was all about. To get to that point and really not understand. We're all prone to drift. We sometimes think about purpose in our careers, and that's supposed to give us meaning. Or in making money, that's supposed to give us meaning. But that's not it. That's just a career. There's a deeper and there's a higher purpose. I remember when I was choosing career, I work with a lot of students, and usually when they hit about, junior, senior in high school, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with my life. And I always tell them, I'm 58 years old. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen when I grow up. I tell them that. But I remember when I was working through that, I was going to be a doctor all my life. I wanted to be a doctor. And then I wound up in the university, and I wound up changing it to psychology and rehabilitation. And then I transferred to Bible college and to seminary. And, it's from doctor to pastor. Hey, that's, it's all lucrative, right? So just thought I'd throw that in there. But we sometimes think of our purpose being our career. I'm talking about something bigger than your career. I'm talking about something bigger than what you do for a living. I'm talking about finding out, not just letting your life drift, but sensing a high calling that you're here on purpose, that God created you on purpose, he created you with a purpose. And so the question is to discover and recognize the depth of what that means. One of the writers I love, James K.A. Smith, says, to be human is to be for something, directed towards something, oriented towards something. To be human is to be on the move, pursuing after something. We are like existential sharks. We have to move to live. We are not just static containers for ideas. We are dynamic creatures directed towards some end. We're not created just to go through the motions. To be human is to be directed towards something. And so the question is, what do you direct your life toward? You were created to live for the purposes of God and not just to drift through life. And so the answer to that is the second point that's in your bullet, is that we are invited to participate in God's bigger purpose, bigger than our career, bigger than the money that we make, bigger than the house we live in, that there's a bigger purpose for what God has for it. It's talked about in Romans 2:5. It says that God was, anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, that God is building a new world. In verse 19, it says that he was reconciling the world back to himself, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. So God's got this big, purposeful plan of trying to make the world look right again, to try to love the world into the existence of what it was created to be. And he invites us to be ambassadors for that. He invites us to be a part of what he's doing in this big world. He says in Romans 12 that we're to offer our bodies as living sacrifice, which is our true and our proper worship. And so the way we find deeper meaning in God's big purpose is in participating by worshiping the true God that loves us and that has a purpose for our lives. We are invited into God's purpose when our hearts, our passions, and our goals are meant to be directed toward him and his plans for our life. St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said this, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until it rests in you." Irenaeus, another church father, says, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." That when we come to God, we become fully alive. We become more human. We become deeper human beings than what we are. And we become like what we worship. If you worship your job, you become part of that rat race. If you worship money, then that's all you're going to get. But if you direct your worship toward God, it opens up a bigger purpose of seeing the world changed for the glory of God. The capacity of human beings is to connect the dots and to see and make meaning and purpose. Animals, as intelligent as they are, I don't want to, you know, disrupt any animal lovers, but they do see cause and effect. But usually it's much simpler. Sit, Fido, and you get a treat. They got it, right? They get that. Or a mouse can be trained to run through the maze to find the cheese. There are some simple cause and effect. But one thing that they distinguish that human beings can do is that we can connect the dots of stories and events and happenings, and we can connect them into the story of purpose so that we can create a different kind of world for ourselves and for the people around us. And so part of being a part of the human is to try to decide, and that's where sometimes when we can't make sense out of things, it causes depression and anxiety. But we're designed to put together these dots of our events and activities in our life to find that deeper purpose. And it can be small. Many people live out of the circle of connecting the dots, that it's about me and mine, it's about job and career, it's about money and pleasure. Or you can draw a really big, meaningful circle, that it's about God and the world. It's about transforming me so that I see my job and career and time and gifts and talents as a way to worship God, as a way to make a difference in the world. So you can operate out of a small vision for what the world is about, that it typically is about me and mine, or you can see it as about God and world, that God has called us to something bigger and to something deeper. But in order to do this, we all need spiritual transformation to discover our big purpose. We all need spiritual transformation. To discover our big purpose, we have to discover two things. It requires our transformation. It requires us becoming in Christ. Paul says, in Christ, new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. It involves, and he says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve the good things that God has for you. So in order to discover your big purpose, you have to be transformed by Christ. You have to see the goodness of Christ. You have to see the love of Christ. You have to change your minds about the things that are important to you. And you have to set your heart and your mind on things that are important to God. It requires our cooperation with God. We give ourselves fully to God by opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our spirits to what God wants to do in you and through you. Many times we miss the purpose that God has designed because we walk through life so busy we keep our eyes and our ears focused on just what's the task in front of us instead of opening them up to see the great opportunities that God has for us. And by allowing the Spirit to equip us to make a difference. So it requires our transformation, and it also requires our cooperation. But when we're open to the transformation of the Spirit, it makes us better. And this is on your sheet. It makes us better. How does this purpose make us better? One of the ways this makes us better is that if you're open yourself up to the life of the Spirit, there's a passage in Galatians that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I need a crop of that, right? And that when a person is flourishing with the fruit of the Spirit, we look more like Christ, which is another way of saying we become better people. Let's sign up for it. Everybody needs a little more dose of love. You're going to sign up for that? All right. How about some joy? I'll take a little joy. Peace, right? Forbearance. That's another way of saying I can get along with people, right? Give me a good dose of that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, those are all works of the Spirit. We call them fruits of the Spirit. And when we're flourishing with the fruit of the Spirit in our life, it makes us better. And when we become better, then we can be better witnesses for Jesus Christ. So with transformation, it makes us better. It simply makes us more loving people, more faithful people. I started to say gooder people. Oh, well, anyway, God desires to grow the fruit in your life. With transformation, it makes us bigger. Not only does he want to make us better to serve, but he wants to make us bigger. How does he do that? He does it through spiritual gifts. Did you know that when you step into the life of Christ, he gives and illuminates and brings out gifts that maybe you didn't even know you had? In Romans 6, we just read, he talked about the different gifts so that you may be prophesying, speaking the words of God. Maybe it's faith. Maybe it's serving. Maybe you're called to teaching and encouraging. Maybe giving that you can give generously. Maybe you lead, gifts of leadership, gifts of mercy. Did you know that there's like 3 or 4 different places where the gifts of the Spirit are talked about? About 15 to 20 different kinds of gifts, which lets us know that Paul is not necessarily trying to be exhaustive because these different gifts have different combinations of gifts. He wasn't trying to lift every gift that God can give you. But did you know God is a really creative God? He can bring up all kinds of gifts in us and that it makes us bigger. He enables our feeble little selves with the work of spiritual transformation to discover gifts and opportunities, ways that God wants to use us that we never even dreamed of. Scott McKnight says, God assigns us a gift in the big cosmic mission of God. Through the Spirit's assignment and responsibility, that we become participants, actors on the divine stage, people gifted by God with an assignment and responsibility in the church of God. So it's through this gifting that he assigns us a place in God's big cosmic world that you have a place to play. You have a role to play. You have a gift to share in the body of Christ and in the world, that you have gifts to use. And then the last thing that transformation does when we're looking at the good news that God wants to transform us to make a difference is that he makes us braver. He makes us braver. The book of Acts is a great book that talks about the word bold or courageous happens over and over again in the book of Acts. In Acts 2:29, a passage we read a few weeks ago, Peter stands up to a crowd that's wondering what's going on, and he speaks, and it says in that verse that he spoke boldly about the things of Christ. You see, when the Spirit starts working in your life, you get more confident in who you are and the gifts God has given you, and it's not that you take up your 27-pound Scofield Bible and go hitting people over the head with it, but boldly means that you're confident in Christ to the point that you are willing to share that love and the word with other people. And just a few chapters down, Peter and John were arrested because they healed a man. Remember that story? In the name of Jesus, they said, get up and walk. And the Sanhedrin pulled him in and said, wait a minute, we thought Jesus was dead. Now you're going around healing people in the name of Jesus. What is up? And it says this in 4:13 of Acts. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they were astonished, and they took note that these people had been with Jesus. They saw the courage that these ordinary men had, and they were astonished, and they said, these folks must have been with Jesus. You see, there's something about the good news that God not only changed our heart, puts us in the body of Christ, but then he gives us gifts and opportunities that if we open our eyes and look, that God will use you in so many different ways. We could call it ordinary bravery. Notice that they said these are just ordinary men. These are fishermen, but yet they're standing up in front of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, and they're given an adequate account of what just happened, that in the power of Jesus Christ, this man just got up and walked. You were created for a big purpose. Discover it. I don't care what your calling and career is, whether it's a school teacher, love kids to Christ. Point to the love of Christ in your classroom. If you're a police officer, love your community. Serve with dignity and honor. If you're working at John Deere, then do your best to work so that people would see the hard work that you do. Talk to someone. Pray with someone. Open a Bible study. Do something wherever you are, whatever walk of life you have. God has created you with gifts. Take invitation cards and invite people to church. Some way. I remember when we were going to Zambia, Africa, and we were pretty comfortable going to Zambia, Africa, and preaching and teaching for a couple of weeks and coming back. And then one day, Reverend Harrison Johnny said, Pastor Dwayne, can you help us do something bigger and more sustainable? And I remember the fear of thinking, what in the world can I do in Zambia, Africa? And there was a handful of us that were like, we would like to try, but how in the world do you get from rural Arkansas to Zambia, Africa? You know, it just didn't make sense. But the more we prayed, the more courage and the more encouragement I got from people to say, just let God, this is an open door, use it. And so this year, we're supporting 113 kids in Zambian African school that wouldn't get a chance to go to school. We just dug our sixth water well. We just sent thousands of dollars to buy emergency food relief that they tell us that they're struggling terribly in the area where we work with food. And Kathy and I and some of the people that work with Love Hope were like, how in the world did God do this when we're just trying to hang on and do what God calls us to do? You see, the really good news is that God not only wants to transform you personally and he wants to place you in the church with others, but you have a big purpose. I don't tell the story of Love Hope to tell you about you'd have to go to Africa to find it. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. All you have to do is just find what God's called you to do. Find the opportunities that God's called you to walk in. What it's about, the really good news is about, is that God has equipped you. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make mistakes. He's given you gifts. And maybe you feel stuck in your career, or maybe you feel stuck at school, or maybe life just seems to be plodding along. And one of the roles of your pastor is to point out that you're not stuck, and you're not plodding, and you're not just drifting. But there is a bigger, wider, deeper plan for your life than you will ever know. And so define that. Give your life defining that. You don't have to do it like someone else. You don't have to create a ministry. You don't have to be a pastor at a church. But find what you do and do it. And then and only then will all the connection of the dots of your life kind of fall into place that you can see kind of how God created you. And so I pray that next week we'll talk a little bit more about it, but then the next few weeks we're going to keep talking about how we each discover here at the gathering the giftedness that God has given us and the creativity that God has in how we've been asked to be a part of a really big plan and purpose. And that's to let people know about the love of God.